What's going on, guys? James Camacho here. This is Kicking It with Camacho. Hello, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Did you go out with your family? Did you partake in any drugs? Did you partake in any, what's that word? Gluttony? Did you partake in any things you shouldn't have done? Or did you just have a good, chill weekend? Did you stay home and play video games all day? Did you work? Are you one of those people that has to work on the weekends? You know? Whatever you did, I hope it was debauchery. That's the word I was looking for. Shit! Oh, my mind processes things slower than a turtle on, I don't know, eggshells. Woo! That would be very slow. Could you imagine? Walking on eggshells got you going slow. But if you're a turtle on eggshells, that's a whole other type of slow. Anyways, guys. All right. Good to be here. Woo! I had a wild, wild, wild weekend. I did a college gig in South Dakota. And I did shows in the Northwest. Shout the F out to anyone that was at South Dakota University, State University gig. Shout out to anyone that was at Joker's Comedy Club in Richland, Washington this weekend. Shout out to anyone that came to Spokane Comedy Club this weekend. I'm going to definitely talk about it. It was a wild trip, man. A lot of ridiculous traveling. Like, when I tell you the stuff I had to do to make all these gigs, you're going to be like, why the hell is he doing that? Even if you were like, I want to be a comedian one day, you're going to hear this and be like, man, fuck that. I'm going back to my 9-to-5. That sounds better. Before we get into the podcast, a little bit of a goal update, folks. I just hit my it's a nice even number. We are at 2,600 public watch hours, which I believe is about 95 up from the last episode, which is fantastic because the last episode I put out was, what, Friday, right? Or Thursday? So in half a week, we got 90 hours, which is fantastic. Yeah, so we're at 2,600 of 4,000. That's my goal. Keep watching, keep liking, keep sharing. I'm putting a lot of stand-up compilation videos up there, and that seems to be doing pretty well. The podcast seems like the last couple episodes have been kind of on a downhill trajectory. I'm not sure if people got better things to do. I'm not sure if people are freaking sick of me, or if maybe it's just like the topics I'm talking about aren't interesting, because the one episode that had 100-something views, congestion toll, Wendy's, $1,000 sandwich, that did really well. I wonder what it is. Maybe it's because I changed the templates, the image. What do you call that? The thumbnails. I made them a little more simpler, but maybe people like all the stuff, all the imagery, and like the topics of the. I don't know. Maybe I'll try that again this week, and we'll compare. We'll do some little comparison, you know. Ooh, maybe I'll make like a little Venn diagram, you know. Ooh, remember Venn diagrams? One side, another side, and where they meet in the inside. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't know what that was. All right. And my other goal. What was my other goal? Oh, TikTok 200,000. I'll let you know. I've completely changed that goal, by the way. I change a lot. You know, I'm like a Gen Z with their identity. I'm changing. my bench goal, I was benching over the weekend. What was my max the last time? I think it was 190. Whatever it was, I'm at 195. I did a 185 for 4, which was for me, that's a new high. And yeah, I feel stronger. My chest feels wide. I'm wearing all these like tank tops that I've been wearing since I was in like college and high school. And I can tell I'm getting bigger because, you know, in the tank top, you have that like where your armpit is. You have that kind of opening. They used to be all like loose and shit. Like you literally fit your fist in there. Now the tank tops, it's starting to get a little tighter because my body's getting bigger. So like there's less space, almost
Some of the new old tank tops have like no space in between them. So I'm filling those tank tops out, which is nice. But yeah, so we're at 2,600 of 4,000 watch hours. Oh man, just a little more than halfway to monetization. And my bench goal is 225. We're at 195. I feel like we're gonna get to 225 quicker. That's gonna be interesting. If I were to put money on, which one would I hit first, 225 or 4,000? I feel like my levels are low here. I guess I would say, if the rate I'm going now with my bench, I probably will get to 225 in about 6 weeks. Maybe. Oh, man, yeah, but I'm going to be doing some gig in the Bahamas for 2 weeks. I hope I could find a gym there. But, yeah, I should be about six weeks with the pace I'm going at now. But there's always plateaus. There's always things that happen. So maybe 8 weeks, so 2 months. And then watch hour-wise, if I get 100 a week for 8 weeks, that's 800. So, yeah, maybe bench for it, which would be insane. But who knows? Who the fuck knows? But, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast, guys, please, please, please go follow me on social media, TikTok and Instagram. My goal of 200,000 followers on TikTok, I completely just gave up on that goal. I've kind of realized that my goals for social media, a lot of them are just completely out of my control. Like, I can't force people to follow me. I can't force the algorithm to show my content to people. All I can do is make the content and try to make quality content, and just, you know, the other thing I can control is output, like how much I'm posting, if I'm posting consistently. So I kind of realized, like, a reason why I was getting so frustrated with the social medias is because a lot of my goals were just things I wasn't in control of, you know, and I'm a big control freak, you know, you stay there, you do that, don't move, I'll kill you. No, but good goals are goals that you can accomplish with hard work, you know, and there's nothing better. Like, you know, in terms of, like, let's say for comedy, if I have a joke that's not working, I can work hard, rewrite, watch tape, try it on stage, get it to work, hard work, that feels good, right? For my gym stuff, if I want to bench a certain amount of weight, I eat right, I do proper form, I go to the gym, right, consistently, I can get to where I need to get to. But with this stupid social media shit, I can work as hard as I want, but if my content isn't resonating, if my content isn't appropriate, I'm not going to, you know, get it shared or viewed by people. So it's kind of, I kind of decided that I'm going to have more tangible goals for social media, which is just to post more quality content, you know, on TikTok, like take out curses, be more cleaner on there, still post consistently. So that's really, so that goal's done. It's so funny because this is like, I feel like my stand-up is just too dirty for the internet sometimes, because whenever I post stand-up stuff, especially when I'm off the cuff and doing crowd work or whatever, it always seems like a lot of times it could get demonetized or, you know, shadow banned. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, they don't exactly tell you. It's just you could tell by the view counts. But I was doing the show over the weekend, and one of the nights this lady was like, oh, we want to live stream the show. Very nice lady. And at first, I was a little hesitant. I'm like, I don't want to live stream it. I got material that I'm working on. I don't want to out there. But she's like, hey, listen, it's going to live stream. Once the live stream's done, it's gone forever. I'm like, fine. That's fine, right? And it was, I budged. I had the budge. Like, I was pretty, like, I was going to tell her no. And then it took me, like, 30 minutes of convincing for me to be like, okay, fine, whatever. As long as it doesn't go anywhere. And you get deleted off your phone because, you know. You know, what stays in the comedy club, what happens in the comedy club should stay in the comedy club. You know what I mean? So she does it. I do the show. Show's great. I go see her after. She goes, I was like, how was the live stream? Did we get a lot of views, a lot of likes? She goes, it was great, but yeah, TikTok kind of shut it down like halfway through or whatever. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, they just thought it was, they thought it was too inappropriate. I was like, God damn it, dude. It's like, bro, I'm not even saying anything crazy. Like, if you've seen me do stand-up, I don't get too graphic or sex. I don't get too controversial. I guess it's just because I talk about race. I curse just because that's just how I talk, you know? Like, I talk, I curse, you know? But, yeah, it's just so funny that, like, what I do in the comedy club. I mean, it makes sense. A comedy club is supposed to be, like, an R-rated, you know, NC-17 type of thing, you know? So I guess it kind of makes sense, and TikTok's such a clean whatever platform. But, man, that's just so – it's just so funny because I've been fighting this fucking battle to be myself, especially with my stand-up clips up there. And I just have – I've had so much failure. And it's just – I think it's just coming down to the point where I realize, like, hey, like, I'm not appropriate for TikTok. You know, my stand-up at least. It's like you wouldn't show Goodfellas or, like, what's that? Like, Saw 3 on Nickelodeon. You know, that's not where it goes. Not to say it's a bad movie or it's just – it's not going to go there. So, long story short, my goal for TikTok is just to post more quality content. That is, I guess, cleaner. And, you know, I'm sure if I could just do that goal, then I probably will get more views anyways. But whatever, man. I it's out of my control. I can't worry about things that are out of my control. I just do what I can. So anyway, so guys, I appreciate anyone that has come out to a show. I have a couple tour dates I got to plug because I need to sell some motherfucking tickets so I can feed my cats. Albany, New York, March 24th. March 30th, New York City. Houston, Texas, April 5th or 6th. What is it? April 5th or 6th? I think I got... It's April 6th. I might be saying the wrong date. My mom told me I might have said the wrong date somewhere. But it's April 6th, guys. That's a Saturday. And then after that, I'll be in the Bahamas. And then, more dates coming. But, like, yeah, Albany, New York, New York City, and Houston, Texas. Please come see me. Those are shows where I have door deals, so if you come see me, I do make a little bit more money, and I can feed my cats a little bit more. So, yeah. All right, let's talk about this crazy run I had of shows. So I was just on the road this weekend. Man, I did a college gig, South Dakota State University. Then I did Joker's Comedy Club in Richland, Washington, and then I did Spokane Comedy Club Sunday. In Spokane, Washington. So get this. So I wake up at 6. No. So I have a 6 a.m. flight Thursday, right? Thursday from New York City, JFK, to Minneapolis, right? So I have to wake up at fucking 3 a.m. I wake up at 3 a.m. Thursday. I splash water on my face. I do a line of blow. You know, I pour coffee into my eyes. And, you know, I kiss my cats goodbye. They scratch me in the tit and head out the door, right? Get to the airport, you know, lounge, have some boiled eggs, steal some bananas, and get on the plane. Flight, all the flights were perfect, by the way. I mean, there was like a 10-minute delay on one, but that's not a big deal. All the flights were all smooth, everything. So I fly into Minneapolis, right? And the reason why I fly into Minneapolis is because where the college gig is, there's one of those, like, very small regional airports that, like, for some reason, if you want to fly there instead of the international airport, it's $700 billion more dollars, you know, which makes no fucking sense. This is a fucking tiny airport. Why is it, like, literally, I think it was, like, to fly to Minneapolis was maybe, like, $150, right? And then if I wanted to fly from Minneapolis, I would have to, like, get a transfer from Minneapolis to Sweet Falls, and that would have been, like, $400 or something. So it's like, fuck, right? It was cheaper to rent a car. So I literally fly to Minneapolis. I rent a car. I drive 3 hours and 30 minutes to the college gig, right? Which is already horrible in itself. I have a 3-hour flight, get in the car, 3.5 hours. Get this, right? Because I'm a fucking idiot, and I don't know how to book myself because I'm my own booking agent and I have no business sense. I'm half a tard and I'm desperate for stage time because I'm a fucking comedy. I'm a real comedian. I'm a stage addict, okay? Honestly, man, if I didn't have options, if it came down to it, I would do this shit for free. But thank God I have options, you know, and I can command some fucking money. But I have to fly to fuck it. So I have a Friday, Saturday in Richland, Washington, which is Eastern Washington State. So I have to go to the, I have to be there the next day by 7, right? Obviously, Sioux Falls, being a regional little dick airport, micro penis airport that it is, there's no flights to Seattle. You gotta, you would have to fly from Sioux Falls back to Minneapolis to Seattle, right? I look up those prices. Of course, Minneapolis to Seattle, $100, $150. Sioux Falls, Minneapolis to Seattle, like $400 or $500, right? I think it might have been even more, like $600 or $700, right? And then Richland, Washington is also in one of these. It's just one of these cities that has like a little regional airport. And I look up the prices to fly from Sioux Falls, Minneapolis to Seattle to Richland, and it's like fucking $1,000, right? And it's like, dude, I like to do that. So, God, I'm already confusing myself. So, and also, it's like it was $1,000. And it would like not get me in time on time for my show, right? So I ended up figuring out that like it would have been it, the only way I can make it in time at a cost like a reasonably cost efficient rate was to drive back to Minneapolis and fly from Minneapolis to Seattle. So get this, I fucking fly 3 hours from New York to Minneapolis. I get a rental car 3.5 hours from Minneapolis all the way to the gig, South Dakota State University. After I do the gig, I got to get back in the rental car 3.5 hours to Minneapolis, and then I got to take a fucking flight at 6 a.m. from Minneapolis. Actually, no, the flight was actually like at 10 a.m., so I still got a little bit of sleep, but I flew from Minneapolis to Seattle, and then when I got to Seattle, I had to rent another fucking car, drive another 3.5 hours to Richland. Did you hear what I just said? So just that Thursday, I drove 3 hours, flew 3 hours, drove 3.5, back 3.5, right? And I'm Asian, so this is my favorite part. I get to calculate these numbers. Dude, that was like 3.5 plus 3.5 is 7, plus 10 hours. 10 hours of travel in one day, and then literally the next day, 3.5 hour drive. Like, fuck me, right? But this college gig pretty much paid my rent this month. So, you know, you do what you got to do, baby, right? You do what you got to do. I would much rather, you know, drive 10 hours and talk about my dick in front of college kids way more than have to work 9 to 5 for a whole goddamn week. You know what I mean? So what am I complaining? But anyway, so I get to the gig. And another thing, too, it's like, man, like it was literally like from Minneapolis to the South Dakota, man, it's just middle America, man. There's just, it's just like, and same thing with from Richland, driving from Richland to Spokane. Richland from Spokane and Seattle from Richland, like all those long 3 hour drives. It's just nothing, man. It's just agriculture for just fucking hours and hours and hours. And it's just like, man, like I could see. How long would it take if someone just threw a dead body out here? You know, that's all I was thinking. It's like, there's just nothing there. Nothing. Anyway, so I get to South Dakota, and it was fun. Shout out to Allie, who had me there. You know, it was funny. It was like, I thought the gig was going to be really brutal because it's, you know what it is? Here's what I'm going to say. I had a great time at the gig, and it was actually very fun. But I just want to say this, man. It's like you can't knock things till you try it, because all you hear about college gigs from comedians, you know, and people, and like even like Seinfeld came out and was like, I won't do colleges. Colleges, they're too politically correct. What's the deal with that? Like, you know, and then like you have all these other comedians that are like, oh, college gigs, they're hell, they're brutal, they're this, right? And dude, I'll be honest, man. Like every college gig I've done has been fine. You know, they're not the best setup, right? Like usually it is kind of like, you know, this one, it's like this one was like a textbook college gig. It's like it was in the fucking cafeteria in the student hall center where all the kids like get their lunch, their dinner, you know, or they're like, there's like, you know, trying to do some like studying and stuff. So it's like literally in this gigantic cafeteria, there's a stage, a microphone, and I'm just performing for like three or four kids that like came from like the, so this group LASA, which was the Latin American Student Association of South Dakota University State, hired me, and like, it's so funny, like three of their members actually came to the show, and then it ended up being like just all these college kids that were like sitting just randomly, like not knowing there was a show. Oh, Bulba, look at Bulba, guys. They were there, and then like what ended up happening was, so just imagine, like, you're getting booked to this college gig, you show up, you're literally in the middle of a cafeteria, bunch of kids are eating food, bullshitting with their friends, right? You know, talking about finals, talking about Tinder, talking about frat parties, and you have to go up there and perform in front of these kids that don't even know who you are. Like, doesn't that sound like hell, right? So, yeah, I was a little scared, right? It just sounds like a typical hell college gig. But, dude, I don't give myself enough credit, man, because I think even the last college gig I did, man, I don't even remember. When was it? Oh, the last college gig was actually a little better. It was more, it was in the student center, but it was like in its own personal room. So everyone that came in kind of knew there was a show going on, which is a little better. But I think like all these like things, like you hear all these negative things, but like every time I do this, like I'm able to do well. I think partially it's because I'm young. Like I'm not that far removed from college, and I think like a fucking college kid anyways, you know? And I'm able really to just relate to them, you know? And that's really all it is. Like, I tell people all the time who are like, oh, I got a college gig. Oh, like, college gigs are hell. I'm like, dude, as long as these kids think you're cool, like, you're one of them, like, you're cool, you're fine, you know? I think the problem is, like, these colleges sometimes, they get these, like, older acts that are super, like, church clean or cruise ship clean. And just because they're clean or they do magic and stuff, right? Or they've been on TV, like, America's Got Talent. They think they can do that room, but it's like they're either old or they're just not cool, you know. College kids want, like, they just like you know how like school is, right? It's like you want to do things that are popular that other people are doing, right? So as long as you're cool up there and like you're some, they think you're some sort of like whatever TikTok celebrity or whatever comedian, right? They're gonna rock with you, you know. And I don't know, I just do well all the time. Like I'm able to just connect with kids, you know, college kids. All right, let's But yeah, I had a fun time, man. What ended up happening was, so like, yeah, I get up there. It's awkward because it's just a bunch of kids that don't know what the hell's going on. And like the four LASA members were there, right? And what ended up happening, man, it's like I got into it. And then I just slowly started attracting people that were like, kind of like, what's this about? And then started listening. And they're like, oh. And they just, you know, moved closer. So like we started out the show, the four LASA members, and just some random college, like, kids, right? And then it ended up being, like, the LASA members and then a bunch of college kids that kind of, like, maybe, like, 20, maybe, like, 25 ended up just coming, like huddling around like a campfire, you know? What it kind of felt like was, like, you know, it's, like, I there was, like, two people in front of me. I'm telling a story in front of a campfire. And then gradually, as other people are hearing and seeing the campfire story happening, like, more people are just kind of, like gathering, and then we had like a decent crowd, and I did an hour, and it was fun, man. I had a really good time, and like, to be completely honest, I didn't, like, you know, a lot of people would be like, hey, if you do a college gig, do you have to change up your act and stuff? I'm like, no, not really. I just don't curse when I do college gigs, but like the subject matter, like I said, like I'm not a dirty comic, I'm not graphic, you know. I may talk about topics, but like that's what the sad thing about TikTok is, like, yeah, I curse. That's not great. But just because I talk about race or like I bring up like, you know, like I have a bunch of material about gay culture. It's like it's just the trigger words that really kind of hurt me, because I talk about gay. I talk about like PC and like stuff like that and race. It's, I guess they just like, you know, it's that funny thing of like, you know. Oh, you can drink alcohol, but like weed's not okay. It's weed's illegal. It's like, really? That's the thing, you know? It's like same thing with like TikTok. It's like, okay, so you have these like teenagers and these twerking and these gym fitness models with literally naked, right? It's like they're wearing clothes that like literally look like they've been spray painted on, but like, oh, we can't make jokes about race. That's where you got to censor. Does that make any sense, you know? It's like you can't say the word sex. Like, you can be like, oh, like, I identify as this sex, but you have to, like, blur that out, misspell that. But if a girl's literally doing, like, squats with her fucking ass cheeks hanging out, that's okay. And she's, like, a influencer. It's just, like, makes no sense. But, yeah, I did well. So, yeah. Then I drove all the way back. 3.5 hours in the fucking dark farm land. You know, felt like I was in Jeepers Creepers. I drive back. I get about, you know, since the flight's at 10, I get back to my hotel in Minneapolis about 10. No, midnight. You know, go to sleep, wake up at 6, go to the airport, fly from Minneapolis to Seattle, rent a car, drive 3.5 hours from Seattle to Richland. Another crazy travel day. So, like, the flight from Minneapolis to Seattle is about 3 hours, right? 2-3 hours. And then just the drive through. So another like six-hour travel day. Get to Richland, and I do the show at Joker's. Joker's Comedy Club. Shout out. I've been going there 5 years, I think. Maybe my fifth or sixth time there. But always fun shows. Both shows, Friday, Saturday, were fucking killer, man. Just had a great time. The people there are simple. They just want to come out and laugh and have a good time. A little bit to their detriment, because they literally are coming out with, like, party vibes. Like, we just want to have a good time. We want to laugh. Fuck yeah. But, like, they're not always, like, the best listeners. So it's, like, a lot of times you'll be getting heckled. A lot of times these people, especially if you start getting into your act, they start kind of tuning out, and they start, like, talking amongst each other like they're at a bar, you know. It's a little annoying, but, like, it's fun because every year I've been there, I've gotten better because I'm going there every year. So obviously I'm getting better. And this is, like, the one time where, like, I had no anxiety about headlining. I had no even thought about, like, time or joke or anything. Like, I just went there and I fucking rolled, baby. You know, like, even, like, the last time I was there, right? It might have been my first or second time headlining. That club, I'm, like, new at I'm, like, a year or two into headlining. So I'm thinking about, like, what jokes do I tell? I gotta do this. Oh, my God. Blah. This is the first time I'm, like, fuck it. I know what I'm doing. And I fucking crushed, man. I watched that Saturday show, man, on the tape of it, dude. Like, it was just like, bam, 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 bam. And I was just watching. I'm like, you're a fucking real headliner, man. You're just comfortable. You're having a great time. You don't give a fuck, man. I'm so proud of you. So, yeah, shout out to Jokers, man. Great weekend. My buddy Eric from high school came out. Him and his lady are living in that area now. He came out on Saturday. We caught up. Had a good time, and yeah, man, just a great, great weekend. I can't, nothing wild happened, man. Like, you know, I'm a boring guy, man. I'm a work guy, man. I show up to places, I show up for the show, and then during the day, I'm watching tape and writing. That's all I do. I don't do shit, man. Unless I'm in like a really, like a city I've never been before, I'm not out there blacking out. I'm not out there foodie, because I can't even afford. If I wanted to go to these places and try shit, I don't get paid enough to do these gigs where, like, if I went out to a restaurant, a nice restaurant, that would literally be my payment probably for, like, one show, you know? So I just can't afford to. So I just work, man. I just work, work, work. And then, like, every time I'm on the road, you know, I'm still trying to keep my fitness stuff going, so I always try to find a gym to go to. But, yeah, so do the shows in Richland. And then the last show of the weekend's in Spokane Comedy Club. That's a 2-hour drive. And, you know, compared to, like, the last fucking days of traveling, that's nothing. So I wake up 7 a.m. Sunday, go work out, check out the hotel, drive 2 hours, get to Spokane. And, man, for the listeners, Spokane Comedy Club is it's one of the best rooms in the country. They're a part of this chain called Bark Entertainment. They have all these A rooms where they legitimately have celebrities perform there. And I'm fucking lucky enough to just get a Sunday there. Like, that's where I'm at in my career. I'm the working at celebrity clubs guy doing the off nights, you know, getting paid minimum wage. That's what I am. But that's, you know, it's cool. I've been doing comedy 9 years. That's where I should be. You know, some would argue I'm ahead. That's good, right? And yeah, man. Dude, they gave me this fucking, like, 5-star hotel. It was gorgeous, man. It had one of the hotel was so nice. It felt like I was, it was nice, but it was, like, too nice, you know? Like, it kind of felt like they had the blinds, but like they had this fucking button for the blinds. So if you press the button, and then the it was just like a lot, man. The bed was like gigantic. It was just one of these rooms. It had the big mirror behind the bed, and like just like these red kind of velvety couches. It felt a little bit American Psycho-y, you know. And I'm sure there's a lot of that shit going on, because just this fucking magnificent establishment. But yeah, I check in the hotel. It's great. I fucking take a nap because I'm falling apart, and I go do the show, Spokane Comedy Club. And man, again, I feel like a real goddamn headliner, man, because I had no nerves, no anxieties. You know, I had just done 3 hours. The last three, I did Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 headlining sets, 3 hours. Like, why the fuck would I be nervous about this, right? I know what I'm doing, right? And I went there. I had a fucking great set, and just a lot of fun, man. And that was it. Then Spokane, and then the next day, fly out 6 a.m. again. I have to wake up at goddamn 3, get to the airport. I have to fly from Spokane to Minneapolis again, and then Minneapolis all the way to New York. Another just like, I think I woke up at what, 3, which is like 4, a 7, 3, no, I woke up at 4, which is 7 a.m. Eastern time. I got home about 6 p.m., so it was like it's just an 11-hour travel day. I got home, I ate dinner, and then I fucking just slept for like 10 hours. But yeah. It was, you know, as brutal as that weekend was, as much traveling, as exhausting as it was worth it, man, because, I mean, the college gig really made it worth it, because I, you know, paid my rent. But, dude, it's like, I got to do those four hours. I got to really work on my set, man. It's just like, you know, I'm working on a new set, and just having the opportunity to do that time is so important, you know? It's so hard in New York City, like, to do that, because in New York you get 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 10 minutes there. It's like I literally have to put on my own shows to do an hour in New York, you know? So it was so much fun to just work on the act, you know? It's like changing things up, adding things. I think I got like four new jokes, which is insane. Like I was, because when you do a long set, you just start getting really comfortable. You connect with the crowd, you know? And once you hit that mark, like 20, 30 minutes in, and you're really connected with the crowd, they fuck with you. Every word you say, they're like hinging on your every word. Then you can really just be yourself. And like, dude, that's like, that's always like, that's what I envision myself on stage, is like that moment when I'm connecting with the crowd, just being completely myself, you know? And that's honestly the feeling I've been craving my whole life, you know? Just people literally like accepting me for who I am, and like being myself, you know? And it's the best feeling ever. And another thing that felt fucking so cool was that, dude, I legitimately had people come out and see me. For the college gig, they invited me, obviously, so they had seen my stuff. They're like fans of mine. I don't know if they were fans of mine. Maybe they were just... So they had booked this show last year with Bass Schuler, my agency, my college agency. And I guess they saw... They want to book a Latin comedian. They saw me on their roster, and they're like, oh, let's get this other Latin guy. But then, like, throughout the weekend, Richland, both shows, and then Spokane, like, there were actual fans of mine that were at the shows that seen me online, and that blew my mind, man. It's just like, and it's getting more frequent, I would say, where I do stuff, and then there are people that come out to see me, and it's just super sweet, man. And it also validates, you know, I was just complaining about social media again earlier. It's like it validates a lot of the work I'm putting in. It makes me want to keep going, because, you know, even though it may not be a lot of people seeing it, there's still people seeing it, and they're going to come to shows, and I don't want to let them down, you know? I got to put my ego aside. So guys, just thanks to everyone that came out. It was exhausting, but it's fun. But that's what life's about, man. You know, like I said earlier, you know, if your hard work gets rewarded, hard work usually would always be rewarded. You know, if you work hard at something, you do it right. And at the end of the day, you know, your sleepless nights, blood, sweat, and tears, yada, yada, yada. There's nothing better. There's no way better way to build confidence and fucking belief in yourself than that, man. And that's why the social media stuff fucking, and this is the last, I swear to God, this is the last time I'm going to bring it up, but it's like, that's why it's so frustrating, because I put in the hard work, but I don't control the outcome, you know? And, but yeah. So guys, thanks to everyone that came out and saw me this past weekend. Really touched my heart, and, you know, wow, that took a lot of time. Yeah, I guess that makes sense, you know? When I recap the weekends, it's, you know, it always takes a little bit of time. But, yeah, let's get into some stuff real quick. We got about, so we're about 30 minutes in already. Wow. Let's get into some stuff real quick, man. So, as you guys know, I am a New York Giants fan, and NFL free agency was recent. And I know, I don't think a lot of football fans or sport fans watch this. If I'm wrong, please comment. Let me know I'm wrong. But I just wanted to bring this up because this is actually really important to me. Saquon Barkley of my New York Giants, he went to free agency, and he ended up signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. For those of you that don't know, the Giants and the Eagles are bitter rivals. I mean, it's a New York-Philadelphia rivalry. Like, those two teams just hate each other. The fan bases hate each other. And to see Saquon Barkley, the face of the New York Giants franchise for the last 5 years, leave and go there, man, it hurts, man. I mean, like, dude, when I found out, I was genuinely bummed. Like, bummed, not like a breakup kind of bum, but like a serious kind of, like, hurt, man. You know? Like a family member betrayed you or something. But here's the thing. It's one of those bums. It's just like, I feel happy for him in the sense, like, the Giants didn't want to pay him what he wanted to get paid. Even though he stressed that he wanted to be a Giant for life and stay here, but the Giants just did not value him, and he ended up getting a lot, the money he wanted from the Eagles. It's not too far, and he grew up there. I gotta be honest, man, it's like, as hard as that would be for someone like me, like, I feel Barkley on the thing. Like, I'm a very, faithful guy. I'm a faithful guy. I'm a team guy, you know? Like, I'm a faithful guy. It's not there's another word I'm looking for. I'm just a guy that, like, listen, like, you know, I'm a faithful guy. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. I'm a faithful guy. You know, it's like, I'm an honest guy. I'm a team player. And, like, for me, it's like being a good person, being a good teammate, or being just a good, like, that would matter. Let's say, for example, like, I play at the Comic Strip, right? That's my home club, right? They've been working me for years. They gave me my start. If there was, like, a night where I got two offers from both rooms, like, the Comic Strip was like, hey, we want you to play tonight for $200, right? And then another club down the block or whatever was like, hey, we want you to play here for $250, right? I'm a faithful guy, you know? It's like, hey, the Comic Strip, they're my home club. They've taken care of me. I know them longer. It may be less money, but I'm going to go there, you know? But the thing with Saquon, the translation I can give is, like, it's kind of like the Comic Strip is, like, refusing to pay me amount of money that makes sense. And then another, like, so let's say it's like the Comic Strip, like, hey, we want you to play here for $50, right? But then another club down the street is like, hey, we want you to play here for, like, $200. And then I go to the Comic Strip. I'm like, hey, man, it's like, I got another offer to play somewhere else. They pay four times more. Then, you know, they're willing to take care of me. Like, I love you guys. So I just wanted to see if you can, like, match this. And then the Comic Strip's like, nah, we're good, bro. You go ahead and go. And as much as it would hurt me, because I love the Strip, and, like, you know, I'm sure Saquon loved playing for the Giants. It's like, dude, if they don't want you like that, man, you got to go. So, you know, all these fans that might be mad at him, It's hard to get mad at him. It just sucks, the whole situation. Him going to the Eagles sucks, man. I mean, if he went to another team, got the same money, I wouldn't be so hurt. But yeah, it's a bummer, man. But all that being said, I'm gonna be rooting against him. You know, when him and the Giants are playing, I'll be rooting against him. If the Eagles are trying to make the playoffs and the Giants are trying to make the, I'll be rooting against them. You know. And it's funny because I was listening to this radio show earlier, and the guy, Dave Rothenberg, he made a good point. He was like, or Dave Rothenberg or Don LaGreca, one of these sport guys in New York, they're like, you know, a lot of the attachment to players is, like, the success, you know? And, like, Saquon didn't have much success here. He was great, but the team didn't win any championship or really win anything. They were terrible. So, you know, it's hard to, like, really get too attached to a player in years where, like, the team has been so bad. Especially, too, he's also been injured a lot. So, anyways, I just wanted to bring that up, man, because that was a big deal to me. Good luck, Saquon. Just not against the Giants. So, Oppenheimer killed it in the Oscars. I did not watch. I think I was on a plane or God have you. I mean, this weekend, there's no shot I could have watched it. But Oppenheimer, what did they call it? Swept Oscars? It took home two Oscars on. Oh, no. Christopher Nolan himself took two Oscars home for director and producer. Man, good for him. But it won seven Oscars total. I believe it had 13 nominations. Cillian Murphy won Best Actor and Supporting Actor was Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. was really good at that movie, man. He was fucking so hateable. Cillian Murphy was pretty good, too. Yeah. Oppenheimer wins everything. It's one of the... For the Oscar, the movies that win the Oscars, I usually are just like, what the fuck is that movie? I've never heard of that movie. But this one I have watched. I watched it in the theater, and I think I've talked about some. Yeah, I talked about it. I watched this movie, and I got to see Christopher Nolan do a Q&A after, which was pretty cool. Yeah, the movie was great, man. And it's still interesting because like, it was as great as it was. Yeah, it was really good. I guess it's weird that to see a movie, and then they're like, it wins the Best Picture award, and you're like, oh, that was the Best Picture, huh? Not to say it wasn't, like, Best Picture. I just haven't seen any other movies, but, no, it was really good. So, shout out to Oppenheimer and Christopher Nolan for just sweeping the Oscars. I'm reading an article here that says Christopher Nolan took home $100 million. That's what he got paid for the movie. That includes a combination of salary, back-end compensation, box office escalators, and bonus for his twin Academy Awards. Damn. He made $100 million for that movie. Isn't that fucking insane? Like, that's got to be the best life ever, dude. This guy is so good at making movies. He literally is like, what do I want to make a movie about? Because I want to make movies about shit. But there's no way I'm going to make $100 million. In fact, I would probably have to spend all the money I had in the world, take out loans, get people I would have to start a GoFundMe just to fund my projects. This guy can literally, any idea he wants, he can get funding for it, and he can also make $100 million. That is, like, insane, man. God, imagine being that, like, big of a director, where it's like, you can literally make a movie about anything you want. People are just going to want to fund you and want to see it. And you just make $100 million. God, the guy made a fucking movie, and he made $100 million. That it's almost like when you do stand up, right? Like even this weekend, I did stand up for at this college, something I love doing, and then I got a huge check for it. You're just like, wow, like it's easy to take for granted, you know, that you could do something you love, some art form, and get really compensated. It's one of those things that you never get over. I feel like, you know. And then real quick, this is we did some social media. What are we at? 45 minutes? All right, we're going to have to, because we got some questions to get to. Obviously, a motivational quote. I'll just say this really quick. Apparently, Joe Biden says he'll sign a proposed. Whoa, what the hell is that? Oh, okay. Of course, I open up a news thing, and there's fucking ads everywhere. That was just an ad that was starting. Joe Biden says he'll sign proposed legislation to ban TikTok if Congress passes it. President Joe Biden on Friday endorsed legislation that could lead to the popular video sharing program app being banned in the United States, a move that comes amid growing concern in Washington about keeping America's data out of China's hands. Biden is quoted as saying, if they pass it, I'll sign it. The White House has provided technical support in the drafting of the bill. The White House Press Secretary Karen, spelled K-A-R-I-N-E. I'm not sure if it's Karen or Corinne, said earlier this week that TikTok legislation still needs some work to get to place where Biden would endorse it. And then former Trump, President Trump said he came out in a Truth Social post on Thursday saying he opposed the ban because it would help rival his social media platform, Facebook. Trump's opposition to the legislation came after he issued a and then rescinded an executive action late in his presidency intended to ban TikTok and another popular app, WeChat. Yeah, okay. So apparently Trump won. I do remember that, and then that never happened. I don't know, man. And real quick, both the FBI and the Federal Communications Commission have warned that TikTok owner ByteDance could share user data such as browsing history, location, and biometrics identifiers with China's authoritative government. TikTok said it has never done that and wouldn't do so if asked. The U.S. government also hasn't provided evidence of that happening. Yeah, so I don't know. This is something I've heard before, where they want to, they want to ban TikTok because they're scared that, their algorithm or whatever is too good at picking up information. Then, China might use it, and then, they might use that against us. A poll published last month by the Associated Press and NORC, Center of the Public Affairs Research, found Americans are deeply divided in the issue of banning the app. 31% of U.S. adults said they would be in favor of a nationwide ban, while 35% said they would oppose that type of action. An additional 31% of adults said they neither favor nor oppose a ban on the social media platform. So that's pretty wild. It's pretty even. 35% say ban it. 30% said don't ban it. Or 31% are in favor and 35% are against. I mean, that's pretty close, man. You usually... that's pretty divided down the middle. How do I feel about it? I mean, I feel about it in a selfish sense where it's like if they ban TikTok, I won't have to fucking worry about using it and trying to go viral on it because I fucking hate TikTok, man. Just like because just the way they've censored me over the years, like legitimately like, listen, I've had my luck. I've had good times on TikTok. I've had videos go super viral. I have like 180,000 followers on there, which is a lot for the normal people. But recently, like, everything I post on there gets completely, contained or whatever, not shown. And, they have this creator program fun thing where they pay people. And, like, literally every time I post something, they disqualify it from monetization. And for no reason. Like, I can't control it. So I'm at the point now where if they take it off, it would make me just... feel like it would just free up a couple hours of my week, so I wouldn't care. That's how I feel about social media in general, though. It's like if you took them away, like, thank God, that'd be great, because then, like, for comedians at least, it would just go back to being able to perform in the clubs well, as all these other factors wouldn't fucking matter, but yeah, I don't know, will they do it? Probably not. I've heard this before about banning TikTok. I don't know. Can you find real evidence that they're... You would have to find... Like, listen, the collecting of the data is for sure happening. Are they actually... Can you find evidence they're using it against us? I don't know. I read here somewhere that, like, you're not allowed to be on TikTok if you work for the government. I'm trying to see if I can find that. There's some stat here, but... I mean, that makes sense. Right? Well, I don't know. Like, if they're not collecting data to use against us, then who the fuck cares? But if they're paranoid about that, then yeah, I understand why you wouldn't want some, like, high-ranking government official being on there. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not on TikTok that much. Like, whenever I do go on there, I don't watch videos. I just post my own shit. So I don't know how much they're collecting from me. But... like I said, I'd be in favor for it just because it'd be one less app I have to worry about getting followers on. What the hell would the comedy clubs do if TikTok was banned? How would they know how to book people? They would have to book people that were funny. Oh, my God. They'd actually have to work at it? Oh, my God. Here's another thing I found. What are we at, 50? Boy, I think we should get into questions. I do want to read this, though. Let's read this because this is interesting to me. Apparently, ironically, on a TikTok video, this American chiropractor Jake Boyle revealed how young people's spines were becoming increasingly malformed due to slumping over mobile phones and computers. Gen Z and millennials are turning into old hunchback people, the chiropractor says. The doctor has warned that younger generations rapidly turning into old hunchback people with a series of x-rays taken over a two-month period, revealing the shocking extent of the issue. He showed a video showing that young people's spines are becoming malformed, slumped because they were slumping over. You know, you're on your phone like this, right? Or your computer like this. He says, if you're under 35, you need to pay attention to this. We're all turning into these old hunched over people, and there's a reason behind it. People have been talking about this forever. Like, you know, over time with the technology and stuff, like, people are slowly just going to become more and more bent, you know? Because, dude, I feel it too, man. Sometimes if I'm working on my computer too much or if on my phone, like, I could feel it, like, in the back of my fucking, my neck. If I'm on the computer too much, I can feel it in my lower back. It's all fucked up. Like, I legitimately, like, I do not know how people work 9-to-5 jobs, sit at a desk all day. Like, I don't know how they do it, you know? I mean, I was on a plane. I was on a plane driving for almost, like, 24 hours this past weekend, sitting there. And I just, like, dude, it's like, when I get out, I was like, I got to stretch. I got to, like, this does not feel right to be sitting 10 hours a day, you know? I don't know how people in 9-to-5 jobs do it. I would assume they have, like, these, you know, I think a lot of people have, like, these things, like, they put on their chairs to massage them a little bit, or like maybe like specific chairs that work against that. But like, yeah, there's no fucking way. Like, I mean, people weren't born, like, there's no use of this, you know? Like, what is this, right? This isn't preparing for anything. There's no natural instinct, survival instinct that requires you to be like this, you know? And, but it's fucked up, man, for so many reasons, because I'm sure these companies know these phones and these computers, and they don't give a fuck, you know? They just want to suck. As long as they're getting paid, as long as people are buying their shit, and as long as people are addicted, they could give less of a fuck if the next generation of people have their fucking necks all fucking hunchback Notre Dame-y, you know? That's going to be wild, though, man, if you really think about it in 20 years. Wouldn't it be funny if you, like, if I just somehow, whatever, I froze, and then I got de-thawed, like, 50 years from now, I get out, and, like, everyone's hunched over, and like I'm just like this normal guy looking around. Everyone's like this, you know, like little gremlins. That would take down the height thing, right? Ladies, instead of like 6 foot, ladies would be like, man, he's 5'9". He's 5 foot now and not that much slouch. I got me a fucking stud, you know? But yeah, I mean, honestly, though, but here's the thing. It's easy to be like, yo, this is bad. You know, your neck, you know, they're, but he says they're showing signs of arthritis and stuff, which is like, that's not good. But it's like, honestly, though, if everyone's like this, though, does it even fucking matter? You know, like if the whole world of people in the future are just hunchbacky guys and you're the one dude with the fucking a normal back, people are just going to fucking make fun of you, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, but I actively, like, am aware of that. If I'm on my phone too much or if I'm sitting down on my computer too much, you know, I start stretching. That's why I work out. I work out and, like, I do all these things to make sure I have, like, a strong fucking posture, strong back because, you know, I know what being on my phone all day and stuff does, you know? And, yeah, they were saying, like, in one of the x-rays, Dr. Boyle claimed a 12-year-old patient was already showing signs of starting stages of arthritis. At 12 years old, man? God damn. It's so funny. It's ironic, too, though, because he made a video of this, and he put it on TikTok. 4.6 million views. And so you're saying, like, don't, you know, you got to be careful of your phone usage, but you made a TikTok video. You know, so you're kind of doing this and it's got 4.6 million views. So you have fucking millions of hours of. Isn't it ironic? You know, if you really want to get this message across, don't you feel like it should have been like in a public service announcement, you know, on TV or like maybe mail everyone a letter? I don't know. I'm kidding. I obviously know it's like He's just trying to get a message out there. But yeah. No one's going to do shit, though, man. It's the same thing with the congestion pricing. Oh, unbelievable. Oh, we're going to have to pay? Oh. But then you get people to change their habits. Go, I dare you. Get people to change their habits they've been doing their whole fucking life. They ain't fucking doing it, bro. People are going to be paying that toll because they're not trying to change up their life. You're really going to tell people to fucking alter their phone usage? Get the fuck out of here, right? I guess, and you know, one thing I saw in the article was like, hold your phone higher. So it's like everyone uses their phone like this because everyone's fucking insecure and trying to hide what they're doing, right? You think people are going to really go start walking around like this, you know, like this? Then you really can't see. Like, no one's going to fucking do that. You know, we're fucked. They're so addicting. I'm sure all these cell phone companies, like, or even TikTok, they're seeing this and they're just laughing. Like, yeah, put that out there. No one's going to do shit, man. The best thing you can do, man, is work out and, or if you're aware of it, you know, just I don't know it, but you know, that's only going to be a few, you know, very few people actually, implement change in their life. All right, let's, man, we don't have much time here. I babbled on too much about my road weekend, but let's answer a couple questions real quick. My buddy, Pat Johnson, he's a comic, very funny dude. He's also a cool cat. He asked me, can you open up to a woman? That's what he asked me. And Pat, let me tell you this, and to everyone listening. Can you open up to a woman? Sure you can. You know, you want to get emotional, tell her about your childhood, you know, tell her your dreams and what you think. Of course you can. But there's that chance they're going to, you know, there's that chance you're going to open up and they're going to be like, what the fuck did he just say? You know, you tell, hey, you know, my dad, you know, my dad abused me, you know, I'm a weird guy, I got intimacy issues, yada, yada, yada. She, you know, and she's going to be nodding her head, oh, thanks for opening up to me. In the back of her head, red fucking flag. Or like, oh my God, this guy's a nutcase, I don't want to work with this. Or like, his dad's all I want to do is be able to have, you know, children and grandchildren, right? Like, grandfathers and blah, 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 blah. Like, what the fuck? Like, just be prepared for that. You can open up to a woman, but if you open up too much, you know, they might, you know, start backpedaling a little bit, you know, start holding back. I've had that a bunch of times, man. I've been on dates where I start opening up a little bit, right? Get a little bit of personal. And, you know, they don't call back, you know? But that's fine. You know, if anything, it's like, you know, if you're not, you kind of know what you're getting if someone isn't into that, right? One big thing about my ex was that, like, I opened up to her and she was, like, we actually kind of connected. We kind of had similar trauma and stuff. That's why I really dug her. But, yeah, you can definitely open up, man. But you just got to know, you know, if you put yourself out there, man, you know how women are. You give them a little ammunition, they'll use that against you, you know? I will also say this. If you're going to open up, whatever you say to a woman, it could even be like, hey, you know, I have issues with my childhood. You can open up about anything, right? You just got to own whatever you say, you know? One thing I'm starting to realize about life in general, not just with women, but it's like, you know, if there's something you're insecure about it, the best thing you could do is own it. And if you own it, you're confident in it, and you don't make other people feel uncomfortable around you for the fact that you are something, you know, it could be anything. You could say like, when I was, you know, like when I was a kid, like I kissed a boy when I was a kid, right? As long as you're, like, you being like, I kissed a boy, like, don't tell anyone, I kissed a boy, or like, right? It was just in school, though, I swear to God, it wasn't a big deal. Like, that's going to get everyone kind of freaked out. You know, it's like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, you got some, okay. But if you go, yeah, I kissed a boy, man, I was a fucking, you know, I was a kid, you know, who cares now? You know, that's just the past, right? Like, if you own it, and then you don't seem bothered by it, like, you'll be surprised of, like, if you own your insecurities, they're not really insecurities in a way, you know? I think the big red flag is just the lack of confidence or the insecurity and stuff, you know, like, it's like I used to, when I was dating, I used to tell girls, like, I realized, like, I would tell girls that I was a comedian, but it had such a negative tone to it. Like, oh, I'm a comedian. I do open mics. I bomb, you know, I go on the road for that. I get paid $2. I go, that sucks. It's a harsh lifestyle, blah, blah. And they're kind of like, God damn. Oh, fuck. Why would I want to date someone that's fucking, you know, kind of hates their job, or like, why would I deal with someone that makes no money, right? But I started to realize, like, I was just saying that because, like I said, it's like, same thing with the college gigs. Like, oh, college gigs, they're so hard, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's kind of cool to be like, comedian, so hard, so tough, get paid nothing, poor, stupid, loser, blah, crazy, right? But it's like, that's not everyone's case. And in my case, I genuinely love doing stand-up. You know, like, of course, I want to get paid for it. And of course, it's tough. But it's like, I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't want to work a 9-to-5 job. I want to tell jokes. I want to write. I want to perform. I want to put myself out there. All that shit, right? And the moment I started, also, it's like, if you perform in front of people, if you get up in front of people and speak, that's the most bravest thing. That's balls, man. And the moment I started, like, owning that and giving off the energy, it's like, yeah, I do comedy. Like, I'm fucking brave. I'm a performer. I'm an artist. I headline. I love it, right? I'm fucking so passionate about it. This is the shit. You know, the money's not good now, but I'm telling you, I believe in myself, and one day I'll be making a fucking $1 million. You have that energy, same career, same everything, same money. You could totally get someone, you know, on your side, or you could get totally, you could totally buy, get someone to buy in that may think like, you know, have views of like, oh, I don't date artists, oh, I don't date this, you know? And God damn it, I was on a really passionate soliloquy, and of course, someone's dying. Of course, someone, I'm kidding, that's tough. I can see the ambulance, oh man, there's no, oh man, the traffic's bad. Woo! Man. All right, well, as the ambulance is idle outside, let me see what the next subject is. All right, guys, so there were a couple other questions I was asked. I apologize. I yapped too much about my my road weekend. But, you know, I do two podcasts a week. I'll do the questions that I missed next episode. And let's end with a motivational quote, as always. My motivational quote today is, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to be all right. And I kind of got this from, I've been listening to a lot of Nightcap with Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco. And I feel like a lot of times Chad and Shannon Sharp will talk about like, you know, struggles, relationship issues, money issues. And Shannon has this really good outlook where it's like, hey, man, like, you know, and he's religious. I'm not religious, but he says like, hey, the Lord didn't bring me all the way here to fucking leave me there, you know? And at the end of the day, I'm going to be all right. The guy upstairs wouldn't put me in this situation, make me struggle, all this stuff to leave me there. And that's just been really hitting home to me, man, because, you know, I'm going through a lot of struggle, right? You know, I say this every week. It's like breakup. It's still tough, right? I'm trying to make it in this career. Still tough. Dealing with social media, the business, still tough. Rejection, still tough. But at the end of the day, man, all this struggle, it's like, at the end of the day, I got my health, I got my family, I got my cats, I got my fucking chest. Woo! And I'm going to be all right, man, at the end of the day. It's a great, beautiful outlook because it's so easy to get down. Like, you know, you get dumped or you get ghosted, right? You audition for something, you don't get it, right? You go on stage, you bomb, right? Whatever. There's so many things that can bum you out and but if you can have the outlook like, hey, man, like I tried my best or whatever. I put myself out there. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be alive. I'm going to wake up the next morning. The sun's going to shine, right? I'm still walk. I'm still going to breathe. I'm still going to, you know, fart. I'm still going to eat. Man, if you can have that mindset, man, it makes almost every bad thing that happens to you like not a big deal, you know? You know, bad shit happens. You're like, fuck, all right. It happens, right? Everyone walks, you can walk a mile on fucking ice, everyone's going to fucking slip up at some point, right? Everyone, at some point, you know, no matter how careful you are, something's going to happen. But just look at that as like, you know, you get right, you just keep going, right? Get to the end line. And yeah, so at the end of the day, you're going to be all right. If you guys are going through something tough, whatever, no matter what it is, bro, and like, listen, there's exceptions, there's health issues, there's but as long as you have good health, your family's okay, and you know, if it's just shit about work or a relationship or just stuff like that, man, just really try to remember, at the end of the day, you're gonna be all right, man. At the end of the day, you know, just think about all the times you have fucking migraines or you actually get hurt in an accident, and like, just you just wish you could be back to normal. Remember that. It's like, dude, anytime I have a massive migraine
or I hurt myself, right? Or I'm fucking like got a stomach ache. I'm like, dude, please put me back to where I have no headache, no fucking migraine, no sickness, and I'm just sad and I'm just bummed out about my fucking career and my breakup. Please just put me back there, you know? Just think of it like that, man. At the end of the day, you're going to be all right. Your problems are not that fucking bad, you know? All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And please like, share, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. Leave a comment on Spotify and Apple if you can, too. I really just do this podcast because it's fun. It's a nice little outlet to yap. And it's also just I like being able to give some extra content to my hardcore fans out there. And I don't really, honestly, man, I'll be honest with you guys, you know, I don't care too much about growing the podcast. Like, I'm not like, oh, I want to be Rogan numbers one day. I really just like doing this, and I like doing it. I just love giving the, you know, people that actually enjoy me a little more personalized version of me. So I really appreciate your viewership. And if you really do dig the podcast, go sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/JamesCamacho. $5 a month, get a free episode. Extra episode every week. And other than that, I'm going to see you. I'll have another episode out for you on Friday. All right. That's it. Adios.